and you don't want your parents to have any part in your social life. That's the first giveaway, that you have the wrong type of friends. When your mother says, where are you going? You say, I'm going out. Or do you going with somebody? No, there's no need for you to ask too much. Don't you trust me? You know, when all else fails, you come to the trust part. Ma, don't you trust me? You can't cage me in. Then you tell her that, you know, if you cage me in, one day when the cage is open, then I'll go wild. So we play all these kind of sentimental arguments in front of our parents. But remember one thing, as far as friendship is concerned, that original friendship and exclusive friendship is for Allah only. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and it's a famous hadith, لَوْ كُنْتُمْ مُتَّخِذًا خَلِيلًا غَيْرَ رَبِّي لَتَّخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ خَلِيلًا. If I were to take a friend besides Allah, it would be Abu Bakr. Apparently it would seem like a contradiction. We know him to be the friend of the Nabi of Allah. But what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant, that such friendship where you give your heart to the next person, I'm not talking about the love letters that you write. No, you know, that friendship where you give your heart to the next person in the real sense of the word, that the love for that person or the love for that being totally envelopes your heart, it saturates your heart. That kind of friendship is for Allah only, exclusively. And hence that is what the Nabi of Allah meant. So your first friend in life is Allah. And any other friend that comes, then they have to fit the criteria of friendship as determined by Allah. You only befriend them because you want to please Allah. And you only meet them because you want to please Allah. So Islam knows that, you know, humans are social beings and we're social creatures by our very nature. We have to interact with one another. That's why one of the greatest forms of torture is solitary confinement. Put a man alone and irrespective of his intelligence, irrespective of his resistance, after a while mentally, psychologically, it starts affecting him. We're social creatures by nature, we have to interact. But if you have to interact, that person is your friend, but your greatest friend is Allah. You know the hadith of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhumah, that the person inquires from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whose company should we adopt? And the Nabi of Allah says, that person when you look at him, he reminds you of Allah. And that person when he speaks, it improves your deen. And that person when you look at his actions, it reminds you of akhirah. I know what you may be thinking today, we can't find a spouse like that. Where are we going to find a friend like that? But perhaps I can explain to you by means of this example that, you know, maybe you want the latest model BMW. But as long as you can't afford it, your father can't afford it, or your father's bank can't afford it, then you will settle for any BMW, as long as it's a BMW. So if you can't find such a friend, at least find a friend who's somewhere nearby here. Somebody who's got some sort of potential. When you meet for the pleasure of Allah. That's one of the categories of the seven who will find shade under the arsh of Allah. اِجْتَمَعَ وَتَفَرَّقَ لِحُبِّ اللَّهِ. When they meet for the pleasure of Allah. When they separate for the pleasure of Allah. Otherwise, there will be disastrous consequences. Allah warns us. الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. On the day of Qiyamah, all bosom buddies will be enemies unto one another except those who had taqwa. Somebody spoke about Julius Malema earlier on, Zuma's friend. So you know, one day Thabo Mbeki went to the headquarters, Lituli House, and an argument broke out between him and Jacob Zuma. He said, you stupid man. So Zuma said, how can you call me stupid? He said, because you keep the company of stupid people. And that point is granted. You keep the company of stupid people, then you consider to be stupid. So he said, why? What's wrong with Julius? So Thabo said, besides the fact that how do you know you get effects from Julius? You find a stamp in the corner. Besides that, let me show you how stupid this man really is. So he says to Julius that, listen, Go down to the ground floor and see if myself and Jacob Zuma are standing there. So this man runs off down the flight of steps. When he comes back, some half an hour later, panting, Zuma says, yeah, you're right, man. He's supposed to take the lift. So that's what happens when you keep the... Hey, I got no political connotations here. But, you know, that's what happens when you keep the company of those who are a bit short upstairs. So Allah says... This narration Ibn Kathir has made mention of on the authority of Ali radiallahu an. On the day of Qiyamah, there will be two friends. The one passes away before the other. But their friendship in this world was such that they were always encouraging one another to worship Allah, to please Allah. And when any one of the two were tempted to disobey Allah, then the other one would discourage him. Now the one passes away and he comes to the divine court of Allah. And Allah says to him that I have granted you Jannah. The moment of extreme, the ultimate happiness. At that moment, he doesn't forget his friend. He says, Allah, I got a friend in the dunya. He always encouraged me to do good. He forbid me from evil. You keep him steadfast. You grant him a good death. You grant him what you have granted me and make us friends in Jannah as well. But on the flip side of that very same coin, if there are two friends who are friends because they disobey Allah, then when the one passes away and Allah grants him that alarming news that you are doomed to the fire of Jahannam, he'll say, Allah, at that moment of intense grief, regret, sorrow, anger, he will say, Allah, I got a friend in the world. He's still disobeying you. Keep him in that state so he dies the death that I died and he joins me in the fire of Jahannam. So the first solution is we ought to check the kind of companionship that we have. Then the second advice that I would give to you, this is something which is very basic, but it's fundamental. We ought to be regular, we ought to be perpetual, and we ought to be, you know, constant with our salah. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ and establish salah. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ Salah will prevent you from every conceivable evil. Providing you establish salah, you just don't go through the motions. You perform salah as it ought to be performed. So many times youngsters come and they say, we've done so many wrongs, so many evils, we don't know where to start. You start in the house of Allah. When you're regular with your salah and you start perfecting your salah, slowly, gradually, you'll see the difference in your life. There are many ahadith, I'm not going to go through them. The hadith where the sahabi kissed another woman by mistake and he performed salah and that was an expiation. The hadith where you shake the branch and all the leaves fall off, that's how the sins fall. A person came to the Nabi of Allah and said, that man, he performs salah and immediately after salah, he goes and steals. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, his performance of salah will stop him sooner rather than later. And one more hadith on this aspect and then we move towards a conclusion, brothers. Man hafadha ala haulai salawatil maktubat. The Nabi of Allah said, if you guard your five daily salawat, lam yaktub min al ghafilin, you'll not be written from those who are negligent. And one of the greatest problems today is that of negligence. We are negligent of the commands of Allah. Sometimes shaitan would say, amen, I've just left that woman. How can I perform my salah? That's a shaitani thought. You know, life is a combination of good and evil. We should try and increase the good and try and decrease the evil. The third aspect, I'm just giving three solutions. Obviously, my time is about to expire. The first is, as I said, the company that you keep. The second is regularly perform your salah. And the third aspect, also made reference to by another speaker, is the aspect of tawbah. Now, many times we say, Malana, hold it there. We know about the tawbah and the merits of tawbah and the virtues of tawbah. But tawbah has three conditions. We can only meet the first one. You know, we regret, but we can't immediately stop the sin, let alone make an intention not to commit the sin in the future. Now, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi explains, that is where istighfar comes into play. Where you just seek forgiveness from Allah, astaghfirullah. Because istighfar has no conditions. Istighfar has absolutely no conditions. Every time you commit a sin, even if you know you'd be committing it 5 months, 5 minutes later, you just say, astaghfirullah. One benefit, ma asarra man istaghfara. You're not considered in the divine court to be a regular sinner. Then a second benefit, if you do that regularly, ultimately Allah will grant you the tawfiq of making tawbah. Because why are you seeking forgiveness? You're saying, oh Allah, I did wrong. Then you're saying, oh Allah, I don't have the courage to stop that wrong. And then you're saying, oh Allah, I don't have the courage not to make an intent or to make an intention not to do the wrong in the future. So when constantly you make istighfar, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will grant you the tawfiq of making tawbah ultimately. There's no room for despondency. You know, there was this man who came to the court of Allah and Allah said to him that I have forgiven you. He said, Allah, I've lived a life of sin. How is it that you have forgiven me? Allah said to him, one night you were restless and you were tossing from one side to the other. And whilst tossing from one side to the other, you said the word Allah once, in lieu of that, I've forgiven you. The notorious bloodshedder, Hajjaj bin Yusuf Thaqafi, is on his deathbed. His mother comes to him and says, Hajjaj, what's going to happen to you? You've shed the blood of those who set eyes on the greatest creation of Allah. You have killed Sahaba. He says to his mother that because you're my mother and you have that natural maternal love, will you be able to see me burning in the fire of Jahannam? His mother says, obviously not. He says, then I have news for you. My Allah loves me 70 times more than you love me. One more incident, a man after a lengthy period of disobedience, his entire life is disobeying Allah. Now he makes an intention that now I'm going to reform my life. He picks up his hands and he says, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Immediately Allah says to the malaika that he acknowledges that there is Allah who can take him to task for the wrong that he has done. In lieu of that acknowledgement, I have already forgiven him. Just by him saying, Ya Allah. I leave you with this hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, that mutu qabla an tamutu, die before death. What it means that before your death comes, put your nafs through the pangs of death by suppressing every desire of his, by resisting every temptation of it. You're going to die to be able to break off that relationship. Not to send an SMS to her, not to go back onto their website, not to log on to Mixit. Your nafs on your heart is going to die. But the Nabi of Allah says, die before you actually have to die. وَحَاسِبُوا قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Take your own reckoning before Allah will take your reckoning. Every night before you go to bed, ask yourself, what is the good that I have done, and attribute it to Allah and ask Him to increase you. And whatever wrong I have done, at least let me say, Astaghfirullah. Because on the day of Qiyamah, I'll have to stand before Allah. And Allah will ask me, what did you do with your life? And Allah will ask me, what did you do with your youth? And it will be said, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقَنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. Didn't you realize that one day you would have to stand before the court of Allah? Allah will say, I granted you youth, I granted you life. What did you do with it? With regards to this, we will be answerable and will be questioned by Allah. May Allah grant me the tawfiq. May Allah grant us all the tawfiq. وَسَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ